All right, so welcome back to our program here on Larry Glimmer Live, 253-5959, star 590 from AT&T, 1-877-777-0590, also via email at LarryGlimmerLive@gmail.com. Also, you can reach us via text on the Scheller Automotive text line at 859-253-5959. We'll have Joe Masati here coming up in just a moment, Zach's needing his phone number here. Just one second. Let me get that for him there. There you go, Zach. We'll have Joe Masato coming up here in just a bit, and we'll talk a little Kentucky baseball. Joe, of course, hailing from the folks at SEC Country, which is, I think, is a great website. And for those of you that don't follow it, you should go to it. He and Kyle Tucker, formerly the Courier Journal, is covering UK for SEC Country. I think if you don't go to the website, you really should. If you do, then you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. 253-5959, star 590 from AT&T. Bruce writes, Larry, Game of Thrones, great show once you get past the violence and don't get attached to any one character. It's a great show if you can weed through the plot and the violence and all the suggestive, provocative behavior, and if you don't like any of the developing attachment to characters and being caring what happens to them, isn't that part of it? I also have been told that the violence is one of the reasons people like it so much. I don't know. We'll see. We're going to talk a little Kentucky baseball with Joe Masato from SEC Country. Of course, Kentucky hosting a regional this weekend. Ohio is their opponent on Friday afternoon. Win or lose, they'll get either Indiana or NC State. I think they'd prefer to get the winner because that means they've won their first game. And we welcome Joe into the program. His appearance brought to you by Redmond's Garden Center, where they sell beauty by the yard. Joe, welcome to the show. Appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks so much for having me on.
Always a pleasure. Kentucky baseball going into the opening weekend of NCAA tournament play. They're hosting back at home. They're not playing their best baseball right now. What do you make of how Kentucky won? You lose 2 or 3 to Florida on the road. That's no big deal. But what do you make of Kentucky's performance in Hoover in the SEC tournament?
Yeah, I mean, definitely not what they wanted. You know, losing 4 of their last 6 games with the 2 losses in Gainesville and then 2 more in Hoover. The pitching kind of got away from them, but I thought the main issue was really the defense. They just didn't look super sharp, but it was interesting to talk to some of the players and to talk to Nick Mingione yesterday after practice. He said they had one of the best practices they've had all year. One of the best meetings they've had all year. So they seem to be past, at least from what they're saying internally, whatever was going on in Hoover, and seem ready for this upcoming regional opportunity. But, you know, if they played better down the stretch, maybe they'd be in line to host a super regional instead of just a regional. But I think they got to just move forward from where they are.
You know, I mean, the defense wasn't great, obviously, and you could see that from the very beginning of the LSU game, kicking it around a little bit. But the offense wasn't very good either, and that's kind of been kind of their calling card this year. I mean, you have Chris Burke saying that their offense before the tournament, that their offense was scary, but it was almost non-existent, really, after the South Carolina game, the first one, that is.
Yeah.
The last two, they struggled to score.
Definitely, you know, in the SEC, they led almost every category. I think except home runs. I mean, at batting average, on base percentage, runs scored. I mean, they're just consistently at the top of the league, and that kind of left them. And they haven't been a streaky team all year, but it kind of left them there. So I think they're definitely trying to get back on track for this regional opportunity.
You know, and obviously, if they win and Louisville wins, if they get to the next weekend, they'll be playing Louisville up in Louisville. But there's a chance, you know, if Louisville gets knocked off, there's a chance Kentucky could host a super regional if they get to it. I mean, obviously, you can't look that far ahead. You got to take care of business. But it isn't like they're completely eliminated from getting a super regional. Like, they still could get it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that's kind of what they're hoping for, really. I think it'd be a great storyline and great rivalry for fans to have that super regional matchup with Louisville should both teams advance. But I think, you know, they're definitely not looking forward to that right now. But, yeah, if someone else, I think Oklahoma, Xavier, Radford are the other teams in that Louisville regional. If one of those teams comes out on top, they would be hosting it, and they'd really be in great shape there to potentially make a bid for Omaha.
Is Kentucky going? Who's Kentucky going with in the opening game? Is it Sean Gelly, or are they going to have a little bit of a different approach like they did in the SEC tournament?
You know, we asked Coach Mangione that yesterday, and you know whether or not he knew at the time, he didn't tell us. So they might have another press conference on Thursday, and they might announce it then. But you know, like you said, Sean Gelly's been there, you know, opening series starter the whole season. But they might. It'll be a tricky. It'll be how Mangione wants to balance things. Maybe they can push him back versus a bigger-time opponent like NC State or Indiana if they want Jelly to pitch the second game. But that's a risk if they're, you know, taking Ohio for granted and throw somebody else. I mean, I think Thompson might be that guy they throw on the opening day if they do push Jelly to the second game.
I would absolutely go with Sean Gelly. I mean, I think you got to get that first game. You lose that first game, it's awfully hard to come out of that regional. I mean, I don't know what the percentages are and what the statistics would say, but I would dare say that the overwhelming majority of teams that lose that first game don't make it to the second weekend.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, I agree with you. I think they will pitch Jelly on that first day just because it's too much of a risk. Because if you happen to lose that first game, then it's, you know, one loss puts you out of it then. And there's so much pressure, especially, you know, with the home crowd and everything. So I think, you know, they would want to get that first win out of the way and then see how the rotation falls from there for game two.
Kentucky's other staff, I thought Justin looked really solid. I mean, he only gave up two hits. I mean, of course, obviously, Kentucky lost the game on the three-run shot. But, I mean, they only gave up two hits to the South Carolina team. So, I mean, I think the pitching, I mean, I know the defense had kicked it around against LSU and everything. Though, but my concern coming out of the series really was the offense was more concerning than the pitching. I mean, the defense, Kentucky's not a great defensive team, although I don't think they're as bad as maybe some of the announcers were alluding to during the SEC. They were acting like Kentucky was committing two errors an inning, you know, all year long.
Right.
So, but the offense, though, I thought to me was the biggest concern. I thought Kentucky looked tight in the LSU game and in the South Carolina game. I thought Kentucky looked tight.
And you know that might have been the case. Mangione talked about it quite a bit. How he didn't even realize, kind of when he was looking around at the team during that SEC tournament, that several of them were playing, you know, in their first SEC tournament. Several of them, you know, after that opening win against South Carolina to start off the tournament, you know, many of them had won a game in the SEC tournament. So maybe the stage got to them a little bit. I'm not too sure. Mm-hmm. You know, that top of the order, really, I mean, the 1-9, I mean, it's been very solid, especially at the top, though. And I really don't think that's too big of a concern for them right now. And maybe these couple days off, you know, in between the SEC tournament and this regional will, you know, be able to get their head straight a little bit. But from them, you know, at least from what they're saying, they're not feeling any of that pressure. And they're still the same confident group they were before they stumbled kind of over the last couple weekends.
We're talking with Joe Masato from SEC Country. Joe, what will we see from Ohio? What kind of team are they?
You know, they got in the tournament because they won the MAC. They finished a couple games above 500. In the MAC. They've got an outfielder, Spencer Ibarra, that leads them in batting average, home runs, power guy kind of at the top of the order. Mangione talked quite a bit about their closer, so they've got some good arms they can throw on the back end of the bullpen. But as of yesterday, you know, none of the players knew much about Ohio. Mangione said he was going to start scouting them a little bit. Really, the only team they're familiar with is Indiana, and that was only a midweek game, so they probably didn't see Indiana's top arm. But I think, you know, it's a pretty strong regional, but I think they feel pretty good about the draw they got.
I think with the Indiana, though, I mean, you're right. They didn't, Kentucky didn't see Indiana's best arm, and vice versa. They didn't see Kentucky's best arm either. At the same time, though, they did see the lineup. They can scout the batters, scout the hitters. They know what kind of defensive team they are. They know what style they play. So, you know, they might not have a scouting report firsthand with the pitcher they would face, but the rest of the lineup, they'd have a pretty good idea about, though.
Yeah, no, I think it helps. I mean, it's no telling who it really helps, but, I mean, those two teams are familiar with each other. You know, they did play earlier in the season, so there's some familiarity there. And I think, you know, Indiana is that number two seed, would be the team they'd likely to be paired up with down the road. But NC State's another team. You know, they were preseason, I think several outlets had them as a top 10 team, and they kind of underperformed during the season. So that's another team that might surprise. So I think, you know, between those three teams, maybe Ohio being the only outlier, it's a really strong regional.
Yeah. Talk with Joe Masato from SEC Country. Any surprises that you might have saw, Joe? I mean, I know people, I don't know how closely you followed it, but, you know, South Carolina didn't get in. Did that surprise you?
You know, it did a little bit, seeing as though they did make a little run in the SEC tournament. You know, but other than that, no real surprises over there. Obviously, a strong showing with for the SEC, especially with Florida and LSU. I think LSU is several people's picks right now, maybe to go all the way, just from the way they finished the season. And I think Kentucky can certainly see that from what LSU did to them in the tournament.
Joe, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much, and we'll be following your work through the course of the this weekend and hopefully the next weekend and beyond with SEC Country. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks.
All right. That's Joe Masato. You can read his work at seccountry.com. The Reds have taken an early 2-0 lead on Toronto. Zach Cozart reached out and golfed one out off the ankles, and Joey Votto came up, and they went back-to-back. Votto's home run. I didn't see an estimated distance on it, but it was second deck in dead center field. I mean, it probably is a good 450, 460, I would think. I mean, it's, I think, what, maybe 402, the center field there? I think that's what it was. I don't know. And, I mean, it was by the way, it's, well, I say second deck. It's actually the first deck, but the deck is some like 30 feet above the wall, and it was off the facade. So, you know, if it's 20 to 30 feet above the wall, and, you know, the trajectory and where it would land, I think you're probably looking at 450, 460, something like that. But it was absolutely hammered, and the Reds have an early 2-0 lead. I know. I said I'm going to watch. What else am I going to watch? Watch, like, you know, the spelling bee or something. Major League Baseball not involving a team I care about. All right, so we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get your calls and comments. We've got coming up in the second half of our show, second half of our hour, Mark Story. Mark Story with the Lexington Herald coming up at 7:35, rather. So we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have more for you. Don't forget Mark Story at 7:35 here on Larry Glover Live, presented by Jack Kane Ford. To our program here on Larry Glover Live. Thanks for joining us here on the Tuesday night edition of our show. Our program is brought to you by our buddies over at Jack King Ford, and we've been talking some Kentucky baseball, a little Tiger Woods as well, and we'll get to maybe those topics and others. Mark Story joining us from the Lexington Herald Leader. Of course, his appearance presented by the folks over at Redmond's Garden Center, where they sell beauty by the yard. Mark, welcome to the program. How are you doing?
Good, Larry. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. I want to talk to you a little bit about Kentucky baseball. The Cats obviously didn't fare well in the SEC tournament, didn't play particularly well down in Gainesville. I think it's fair to say they're not playing their best baseball when they need to be. How concerned are you that what happened in Hoover, Alabama could carry over to this weekend?
I'm not as concerned about the SEC tournament. It's just the fact that I didn't think they played their best down the stretch. You know, I would go back to, I guess it was the third to last SEC series where they had two games get away from them late against Georgia, mm-hmm. not a very good Georgia team, although one that played better down the stretch. But nevertheless, I thought that was really where they lost the conference championship, was losing 2 out of 3 to Georgia. And then, you know, they did sweep Tennessee, but then, as you point out, you know, they dropped the last two at Florida and didn't play great in the SEC tournament. But, you know, I think some of that is understandable. I mean, it's just going to be some ebb and flow in a baseball season. But I guess I would be a little more concerned about the way they finished the regular season as opposed to the conference tournament, which I'm, you know, in Kentucky's case, it did prove costly, because I think had they you know, played well and won, I think they could have been a national seed and mm-hmm. could have stayed at home and, you know, and had a chance to go to the College World Series without ever leaving Lexington. But I don't think the fact that you play bad in the conference tournament necessarily, you know, means anything for how you play in the NCAA tournament. At least it hasn't for Kentucky men's basketball, because they seem more likely to win the NCAA championship when they don't win the SEC tournament.
That's right. Yeah, I really thought watching them play, especially against LSU and also against South Carolina the second time, that they looked tight. I thought they played trying not to make mistakes rather than just going out and playing to the ability and just trying to hit the ball hard and making plays. I thought they looked tight from my perspective. Did you see that?
Well, you know, I almost just throw out that LSU game. It just got away from them, and I just, you know, the thing that, you know, bothered me in that second South Carolina game, didn't they have two runners picked off? I mean,
yes.
In tournament baseball, you know, a lot of times it's just, you know, the team that doesn't, you know, do dumb things, the team that doesn't beat itself is the team that advances. And, you know, that was, you know, what I thought was mm-hmm. uncharacteristic and just, you know, was kind of bothersome about that second South Carolina game, because they obviously pitched well enough to win that game.
If you were Nick Mangione, would you go with Jelly in the opening game against Ohio, or would you roll the dice and go with the midweek starter and try to get to that second game with your gun loaded with your top three bullets, so to speak, metaphorically speaking?
No, I think the first game in a double elimination tournament is just incredibly vital. Mm-hmm. You know, if it were me, I would throw the ace. I remember thinking back to, I guess it was 2014 when, you know, AJ Reed, I thought they should have pitched him, you know, in the opener. I think you should, you know, I think in a double elimination format, staying out of that loser's bracket is hugely vital. And I would, you know, I would throw your best.
Yeah, I would too. Well, I would as well. I mean, I don't know what the numbers say. I was talking with Joe Masato about this just a few minutes ago about I can't tell you what the actual numbers say, but I would be willing to bet you, if you went back and did the research, that teams that lose that opening game, that opening weekend, a very small percentage actually come out of that opening weekend and get to the second weekend. I mean, you lose that first game, you have to run the table against some good teams.
Yeah, and the other thing, if you win through, I believe you can advance by winning three games. If you get in that mm-hmm. loser's bracket, you're probably going to have to win, what, five? And, I mean, it's just very, very difficult.
Yeah. Kentucky, they could potentially only have to win three games. I mean, obviously they'd have to, you know, I guess if they won three in a row, I mean, if they win their first three games, they advance. I mean, they wouldn't have to play a fourth game. They'd have to win I guess you have to win. You might play four games, but you only have to win three, I guess, if you win the opening game. So you get a loser's bracket.
Yeah, I just think in a double elimination tournament, the first game is just, I mean, it's just vital. So I think you go with your best.
I was making the comment on Twitter yesterday, or actually, yeah, it was yesterday when the brackets came out, that are there any two rivals, Mark, in college athletics that get paired up in postseason more often than Kentucky and Louisville? It just seems like every time, the men's basketball seems like every other year they're in the same bracket or same draw, whether it pans out or not, who knows. They are this year, and if Kentucky wins and Louisville wins in the opening weekends, they have to play again in Louisville. It just seems like Kentucky and Louisville have to play in postseason in ways that almost no other rival has. And I understand not being in the same conference is a big, big part of that. But still, though, it seems like it happens a lot.
Well, in men's basketball, it happens. It seems to happen sort of in twos. You know, mm-hmm. they played, you know, twice in the tournament in the 50s, and they played twice in the tournament in back-to-back in the 80s, and they played twice in 3 years in the current decade. In baseball, they played in the NCAA tournament in 14 in Louisville, and, you know, one advantage, had Kentucky been able to earn the national seat, they could have, you know, sort of taken this out. Having said that, you know, if it is Kentucky and Louisville in the super regional playing for the right to the college series, I don't know if there's anything better that could happen to raise interest in college baseball in the state. And you know, Kentucky has never been to a College World Series, but I don't think they came into this season with high expectations. So in some ways, if they get to that point, I don't think the pressure is on Kentucky. And Louisville, as successful as Dan McDonald has been, and they've been to, three College World Series under him. But the last 2 years, the perception has been that, you know, they should have gone, and they haven't. So, you know, I think there would be more pressure on Louisville if it gets to that point. Now, obviously, there's a lot of baseball between now and then.
You know, with Louisville hosting a super regional, I mean, ideally, you know, that's intended to give you some kind of home field advantage. But by playing Kentucky, a team so close, you know, it could be more neutral than maybe most teams would enjoy in a super regional. I mean, I don't know how well Kentucky's fans will travel in baseball, but that said, Kentucky fans can buy a lot of tickets and make that thing maybe a little bit more of a neutral site deal than maybe other super regional hosts would get.
Yeah, I don't know how the tickets would be distributed and, you know, to what extent Louisville could control, you know, who was able to buy tickets, if at all. But, you know, if the tickets are just, you know, put on sale to the public and open, I think there would be a lot of Kentucky fans there. I don't know that it would be 50-50, but I would think it would be 60-40, you know, 65-35. I think Kentucky would have a lot of support.
How much of an advantage is it for Kentucky, you know, having played Indiana, for instance, which they could this week in Lexington, or if they get to the Super Regional and play Louisville, having played Louisville and split with Louisville, how big of an advantage is that for Kentucky and or Louisville to have seen your competition?
Well, I mean, I would guess that neither team has seen, you know, anybody's weekend pitchers. So in that way, you know, you haven't seen. But, you know, I think it's to somewhat extent an advantage. And in Kentucky's case, I think you would draw some confidence because you fared well against teams you may play. So I think it's probably a slight advantage. I don't think it's, you know, humongous.
Let's go to Al next up. Al, welcome. You're on the line with Mark Story.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Guys, I wanted to sort of ask a question about Tiger Woods, but I want to make this observation.
Okay.
Tiger Woods has fallen off from becoming a GOAT, similar to Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan, and, of course, we know the conversation about the great LeBron James probably becoming a GOAT as well, along with Serena Williams. Mark, if you had to write your story today about Tiger Woods, how would you conclude it? And I know that we can't jump to the conclusion as to what's going on with him, but certainly we know what he started out in 1997 as, winning the majors at that young age, and he's had an upside-down life starting 7 years ago. What kind of story can you write and give a couple lines of what you would say about Tiger Woods if his career concluded today?
Well, it would be hard to write the conclusion on his life because his life hopefully has a long time to go. You know, his golf career, you know, the first part was brilliant, you know, probably for, you know, his peak years, the best player in my lifetime. You know, he's obviously not going to exceed the career majors of Jack Nicklaus, which was his stated goal. So Nicklaus, I think, deserves the mantle as the best player of all time. But the other part of Tiger's story that is fascinating is just the fall and how quickly it happened and how, for whatever reason, you know, he's not been able to stop it, and you know his body has broken down, and that's why, you know, a lot of people, you know, held out hope for a long time that he'd be able to recover, you know, his lost greatness, or at least win one more major. And, you know, I don't see any way that's going to happen at this point because I just don't think his body's going to allow him, and you know we don't know really what's going on with him, you know, otherwise, you know, this particular incident is kind of bizarre. And it's kind of interesting to look at, you know, some of the low points in his life. He seems to get in trouble around holidays.
That's right. He does, doesn't he?
But do you Larry, let me ask you one quick question.
Yeah.
Does that, when you think about his downfall, can you sort of compare it? It's different from O.J. Simpson, but I kind of connect him closer to Mike Tyson.
You know, I don't know if it's really fair to compare them to either one because, of course, O.J. and Mike Tyson spent, you know, time in prison. So, yeah, and Tiger's not done anything to, you know, that egregious. So, and in fact, he's the only issue he's really had legally, I think, is this current situation with the DUI. The only thing about Tiger's perspective, and I talked about this yesterday and also tonight, Mark, that I think it's a little premature for people to be writing stories about how his life's spiraling out of control. I think that's a little unfair. Obviously, he had the issue with Elon 6 years ago, I guess, or whatever it was. And then, obviously, this DUI is not a good look. But I think it's hardly evidence that his life is spiraling out of control. Now, it may turn out that this whole thing is a painkiller addiction, and maybe, you know, there's a lot more going on that we don't know about. But just on face value, a DUI does not mean your life's spiraling out of control.
Yeah, I would be a little careful in, you know, making sweeping generalizations about his life because there's just, you know, so much about it we don't know. You know, I think part of that is because his image and his career achievements were so exalted for so long, and I think, you know, just kind of the adversity he's faced and the fact that, you know, he hasn't been able to, you know, sort of stop his career fall, I think people, you know, draw conclusions from that. But I agree with you. I think it's dangerous ground to draw sweeping conclusions about what's going on in his life without far more information than I at least have.
Yeah, indeed, me too. Let's go to Jerry next up. Let's talk about the Super Regional. Jerry, welcome. How are you doing?
Larry, how you doing?
Good, Jerry. What's up?
Hey, Mark, how you doing, buddy? Read your column a lot, dude.
Appreciate that very much.
Just a quick question. There was an article today that it said if Kentucky and Louisville both survive their regionals, is it because of where they're seated? They said more than likely, or they sounded like it was positive. How do they know they would meet in the super regional? Is it where they're seated, or is it what they want to happen?
There's a bracket.
No, it's just the way it's bracketed. Like in the basketball tournament, you have a bracket. You also have a bracket here. It's just the way it's seated and bracketed.
Well, I knew because Louisville was in the top eight seeds because they're going to stay home throughout as long as they keep winning.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Kentucky wins their regional. They're going to go on the road, obviously. So Louisville, I think, ended up as a seven seed.
That's right.
So, that's right, yeah.
So,
and the way Kentucky seeded, so they will automatically have to play Louisville.
Right. If Kentucky and Louisville get to the Super Regional, they would play. And if Kentucky would win the Super Regional, they would get North Carolina in the first game of the College World Series, even. It's even bracketed to that extent.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know it was that far out. Okay. I guess that's my naiveness.
Well, I mean, it's always – in fact, there's
Louisville were to lose in the regional, not advance, but Kentucky advanced. Then Kentucky could host – Kentucky wound up, if that were to happen.
And that could happen.
Well, I tell you, I know one thing. I mean, I'll root for the Cats first, but Louisville's just got one heck of a baseball program. And,
yeah,
you know, you'd like to see them both make it since it's two different conferences. But I know I never could figure out because the softball regionals just got done.
Yes.
And I tell you, them women can flat out play, buddy. It's unreal.
You know, that's a good point, Mark. Rachel Lawson's obviously built a great program, but it feels like maybe she's almost kind of in the same spot as Matthew Mitchell here, where they get to the doorstep but can't break through.
Well
they
did break through once and make it to the Women's College World Series.
That's true, yes. That was my mistake.
That was a really tough one to lose. It seemed like they
appreciate y'all clearing that up for me.
I'm sorry, Jerry was saying goodbye. What was it again, Mark?
I appreciate y'all clearing that up. I was just a little disillusioned. And
all right.
Y'all keep up the good work, Larry. Have a good one. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate it. Mark, you finished your thought there about Rachel Lawson.
I think you know, from where UK softball was, which was nowhere, I think she's done one of the best coaching jobs, you know, on the UK campus. And they did make it to a Women's College World Series. So they have at least gotten to the promised land once. You know, the loss, you know, that was a very, you know, they've lost two really tough games in the postseason. They lost the game in the World Series where they had the lead and it got ahead, and there was all the second guessing about whether they, you know, they should have changed pitchers, even though softball and baseball aren't necessarily the same in that regard. And then, of course, you know, they had the lead in game two of the Super Regional with Oregon, and, you know, had they won it, and it seemed like they had it in hand, you know, all the pressure would have been on Oregon in the third game. But, you know, it got away from them, and, you know, it was a tough one.
Mark, I appreciate it as always. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Larry.
All right, thank you. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up next here on Larry Glover Live, presented by Jack Kane Ford.